This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Friday, February 26, 2021. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio just north of New York City. And today, Taylor, I'm excited. We get to unveil another new production, this for Carl Ravitch. And you're getting, continue to get rave reviews in social media for those.
Yeah, Sarah Langs, you know, she was on the show yesterday. She like laughed through the end of it. Like when we had her on, she tweeted about it, so she was very excited. I'm sure Carl Ravitch is gonna like his. I'm getting some flack for Dave Schoenfield's being basically the same, so that's a thing. But you know, overall positive reviews. I think that might be it. Let me look at my bank here.
Yeah.
We got one for Boog.
Well, and you said you have production, I think, for Jeff Passan whenever we have him on, and also
yes,
for Jesse Rogers, correct?
You are correct on that. Those ones are still in the works. That's why.
I'm curious about the themes you use for those two guys, and I reserve the right to reject them. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Just a couple notes as we start today. The Vermont Lake Monsters, a team located about an hour from where I grew up. I grew up in central Vermont. The Vermont Lake Monsters up in Burlington, they were sold. This is part of the fallout from Major League Baseball's decision to reduce the number of minor league teams from about 160 down to 120. The Lake Monsters have been sold to a group that will move the team into a summer collegiate futures league. I have strong thoughts about that as we speak with Carl Ravitch coming up. We're also today going to be speaking with Marley Rivera, and we're going to be getting a Braves preview with Jeff Francoeur. Chris Bryant spoke with reporters Wednesday and addressed the comments about service time manipulation by now former Mariners CEO Kevin Mather. Chris Bryant, you remember, there was a question about whether or not the Cubs manipulated his service time. There's not really a question about it. But his response was, wow, I'm just surprised he said it. I mean, we kind of know that's the standard operating procedure. Obviously, I've been through that before. Chris Bryant was asked about the upcoming CBA negotiations as well. And his quote was, you know, there's going to be a battle, but hopefully certain things will change. Now, before we get to Carl and to Marley and to Jeff Francoeur, two things I want to mention. First, check out Stephen A's World, streaming weekdays on ESPN Plus. You can also find the best interviews from Stephen A's World available as a podcast every Wednesday. Listen wherever you get your podcast and watch Stephen A's World on ESPN Plus. And check out ESPN's newest podcast, First Take, Her Take. On the latest episode, hosts Charlie, Kimberly, and Shanae are talking about podcast breakups. Huh, that's interesting. Podcast breakups. Kids acting disrespectful and being territorial with jersey numbers. Listen to First Take, Her Take, wherever you get your podcasts.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus Chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
All aboard. It's the Rabby Train with Carl Ravitch on Baseball Tonight.
Wow, Ravi. So yeah, you're the host of Baseball Tonight, play-by-play man on ESPN. Well, you got new production this year under Taylor. What do you think?
2021 edition. It shows, Buster, even in COVID, progress has been made. We've come out of the old dark ages. I tell you, that sounded more like an Acela train as opposed to the cross-country train that would take a month to get there. So we're moving forward. We're moving in a good direction with some speed.
Exactly. And the Ravi train will be involved with spring training broadcast. I'm jealous. Our Sunday night group is not going to have an exhibition game. How many of those spring training games are you going to do? I think our company is doing four. How many of those are you going to do, and what games do you have?
So we have four of them. We're doing the first one, Rays Red Sox, with Tim and Eduardo and our esteemed producer, Andy Jacobson, who did a lot of the early morning KBO broadcast with us. And the second game, then there's another game. I think it's Benetti and Dave Fleming will handle a couple, and Tim and Eddie and I will do another game. So we have two games, Rays, Red Sox, and I think it's Mets, Nationals, maybe, which is our, I think it's our fourth game. I haven't done too much on the next game. I've done a lot on Rays, Red Sox. So I think, Buster, it's baseball. I think we're all in a position to want to see the sport back, you know, see players, see bats, see baseball. There is a definite, you know, fatigue from COVID, but there's also, as always, a winter fatigue, and baseball indicates, you know, the start of spring. And I don't think it's far-fetched to associate, you know, the influx of vaccinations, et cetera, and the attention being paid, that there are, for the first time, you know, baseball is another sort of flashlight that's been turned on that points to the end of a long tunnel for all of us. So I'm excited about it for a lot of reasons.
And I think it's safe to assume that whatever spring training broadcast we have, it's going to involve mic'd up players. Like when you mentioned you're going to be with the, you know, potentially with the Mets, my first thought was Dom Smith. You got to put a microphone on that guy. If you're going to have the Red Sox, you're going to put a microphone on Alex Cora, their manager, or old friend. I'm assuming that's going to be part of it. Yeah.
I'm sure there's an effort to do that. I don't know what protocols, et cetera, will allow. I know that there will be great effort to invite as many people on who want to talk baseball, whether directly involved with that game, Alex Cora, Kike Hernandez, new Red Sox guy who's got, as you know, a phenomenal personality.
Yep.
You know, any number of the Rays, including, you know, their manager, Kevin Cash, who knows, Austin Meadows. But then there'll be, to me, we had this discussion going in, you know, there's a zillion directions to go in when you're talking spring training baseball, especially as early as we're doing it. Very little has been established. Nobody's playing more than an inning or two. Pitchers aren't likely to pitch, and if they do, they'll throw 15, 30 pitches and be out. So just think broad brush, which I'm sure the Baseball Tonight podcast has done. You know, whether it's the World Series champions, whether it's Tatis in San Diego, whether it's Lindor with the Mets and the shortstops and free agency, it's 162 versus the 60. There's so many great directions. And when you have the conversationalists like Eduardo Perez and Tim Kirkchen and a guy that's willing to, you know, to do things a little differently in Andy Jacobson, I know it will be great. And I'm immensely looking forward to just talking about, you know, baseball. Who knows what you and I are doing next year at this time with regards to a season, hopefully, and labor. For this year, let's just enjoy baseball. I hope we go that way.
Yeah, I think I might be on that broadcast with you for at least a half inning or something like that.
Awesome.
And you're right. When you get those first broadcasts, you have the full menu available to you in terms of topics.
Yeah.
And one thing that I hope that we can talk about at some point before the first pitch of the season, expanded playoffs. You know, we had the two sides, Major League Baseball and the Players Association, did not agree on deferring the start of spring training. I still don't understand why that wouldn't have made sense for everybody, including the players.
Yep.
But I've been told by a number of people, you know what, the whole question of expanded playoffs, that's still potentially on the table. And we saw last year, leading up to the 60-game season, they agreed in the last hours. What's your sense of whether or not we might get that sort of that conversation move forward where instead of having a 10-team playoff field, we wind up with a 14-team playoff field, which is what Major League Baseball wants?
Well, look, sadly, I personally don't see that today. That doesn't mean it won't change. And more sadly, there's no question that it benefits everybody. Like logically, it makes no sense not to have it. The idea that, and I know we're going to talk about, you know, Kevin Mather in Seattle. You know, one of the reactions of the players was we're looking forward to addressing things like this at the negotiating table. Meaning to me, with them, and we've had this discussion ad nauseum, like vomit enough, about negotiations. Everything is a negotiation. Everything needs to be on the table. Everything is a chip. And that is what this is about. Expanded playoffs absolutely should be part of this. The DH is debatable, but that's logic. It makes sense. I've seen, because I've tweeted about it, some saying, why water down the product? Why are you, kind of taking away from the competitive nature of some teams so you can invite those that are less competitive or aren't as good into the dance? That's foolish. You want these teams. You want players to be acquired as we move forward through this season to get into. I mean, this is always about getting into the dance. Let's see what happens once we're in there. But, God, get us in there. And if we can expand the field, sorry, I'd argue against anybody on the benefits of having expanded playoffs. They should be there. I don't believe there's going to be a move right now for that to happen, because I think, Buster, if you open up that box of, you know what, guys, unless this is done privately between Manfred and Clark or Manfred and Meyer, and no one knows about it, it then becomes public, and then it becomes posturing, and then we get nowhere for a month.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I'm with you. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of the upcoming CBA talks and where expanded playoffs is going to be in 2021 and beyond. But I wrote a few weeks ago that I do feel like, from the player's perspective, the idea of expanded playoffs in 2021 is like a winning lottery ticket with an expiration date. Like, you could potentially take the idea of 14 teams in a playoff and cash it in for 2021, and you could get something for it. And I don't know, what that number would be, $50 million, $100 million, $75 million in value. I don't know what that number would be. But it's pretty clear the owners are motivated to do something. And I agree with you. Like, if you expand the playoff field, it's more likely that you're going to have teams get involved. The way we saw, I remember sitting with you just before the trade deadline, hearing about the Cincinnati Reds, who were kind of on the fringe, being aggressive. The San Diego Padres being aggressive, trying to get into the dance. I was talking with an executive last week, and he mentioned the National League. He goes, look, the National League is very polarized right now, where, we know the Dodgers and the Padres might be two of the best teams. You know, in the National League East, you're probably going to have two teams there. And his point was, if you don't expand the playoff field beyond five teams, you don't grow it to seven, you're probably going to have a lot of teams checking out of competing in early July.
100%. And this is a one-off. The idea that you would have expanded playoffs, DH, right, seven-inning doubleheaders, whatever was discussed, no one is tying you to, to a post and saying this is the next 10 years. This is a one-off. And I, again, I don't know how many people you've spoken to who thought last year's expanded playoffs didn't work or didn't generate more excitement or didn't create energy around the sport that desperately needs it. I never spoke to someone who said, that really sucked. That really was terrible. I can't believe that the Dodgers had to go through that, or that the Yankees had to go through that round. I didn't hear anybody say that. I mean, I just didn't. So this concept of negotiating and this is a chip, I don't live in that world. I don't want to go down that road when it makes sense for both sides. If it made sense for one side, I would get it. It makes sense for both sides.
Yeah. And we probably should mention the caveat. We both work for, do the qualifier. We both work for ESPN, which would like expanded playoffs. And so let's just get that off the table. But I would feel the same way if I didn't work for ESPN.
Like, I'd want to watch it. I'd want to watch it wherever it is. Yes. I'm tuning in.
Yep, exactly. So we got word on Thursday that the Vermont Lake Monsters, a team near and dear to my heart, it's an hour away from my group in Randolph Center, Vermont. They play in Burlington. They announced that that team has been sold and will move to a Summer Collegiate Futures League. This is, of course, part of Major League Baseball's decision to reduce the number of minor league teams from about 160 to about 120. And, Carl, look, it breaks my heart, and I'll say the same thing I said last year when this idea was first floated. I still think this is incredibly penny-wise and pound-foolish. I talked to a number of executives with individual teams and asked them, hey, what's the estimate on how much money this is actually going to save per franchise that is eliminated? And what I got back was like $750,000 on the low end and $1.5 million on the high end. And I'm just thinking of this as, you know, potentially being seed money to have these teams, to have give more people access to minor league baseball. I'm sad because I know the people who work with, for the Lake Monsters who've done a great job through the years, but I also don't get it from a business standpoint. What do you think?
Well, you know, the only way I can relate to it is in our industry, as you know, and most people now that have consumed sports over the last, 12 months have seen games being broadcast from studios, from people's homes. Guests are brought in, you know, via Zoom as opposed to flying them certain places. And in our industry, and this isn't exclusive to ESPN, but in our industry, you know, when we decided to do, and not to get too behind the curtain, but these are called REMI broadcasts. They're done remotely. Instead of everybody, meaning the entire crew, going to a game, the executives and others have in their mind discovered we could do this for less money and it's not a dramatic drop off in quality. Again, that's an opinion. Most people who are at the games would prefer to do them from the site, but there is some savings. And then when you ask, it appears as if the savings are not dramatically significant, similar to what you just brought up with, you know, minor league baseball and the Vermont team, and you're saving $750,000 to $1 million. I don't necessarily know that the money in the case of broadcasting ultimately is the decision, as opposed to other things, which are we're not traveling. We're not dealing with airplanes. We're not dealing with hotels. We're not dealing with canceled trips. We're not dealing with rainouts. People are located basically at their home or at a studio, and so many things have been mitigated. To me, the baseball decision, I think we have to wait to see how the teams that have survived and the pay, et cetera, being increased is going to impact the quality of those teams. And, you know, whether Major League Baseball is going to do a great job with all this underneath their umbrella, or it's going to, you know, disintegrate and dissolve into something worse, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. I certainly understand the sensitivity to somebody who has had a team, you know, in their local market disappear. We had one in Torrington, Connecticut. I was in Binghamton, New York, working when the Mets showed up. I've been in Harrisburg where the Senators were there for 3 years, and understand that relationship and that dynamic. And to me, yes, when you remove baseball from a city, a town, you know, you're cutting away at its fabric, and that's never good. So I'm going to wait and see before I would jump to judgment on it. But I understand okay. The point for sure.
All right. We got about 5 minutes left. We go a little bit more rapid fire here. I got some topics. First off, Fernando Tatis Jr. Gets that massive 14-year, $340 million deal. Earlier this week, Francisco Lindor was asked about that deal. And he goes, hey, you know, I texted him. Congratulations to him. Do you think the Tatis deal makes it harder or easier for the Mets to work out something with Lindor?
Well, to me, and no one should be getting 14-year deals in any sport, let alone one that's guaranteed money. That's just how I would operate. I think for the most part, 90% of those long-term deals don't work. I think in the Mets case, it depends on what Lindor is going to want. Lindor is not Tatis. He's not as young as Tatis. And again, the way that this game is going, you know, Lindor, who I love and have argued is amongst the best players in baseball behind Trout and Betts, he's like on page one, should get now that average annual value for less years.
Carlos Correa, he and the Astros have kind of been making noises about possible extension. Yep. I've talked with agents and teams that believe that among potential free agents for the fall of 2021, they think Correa, because of his history of back trouble, if he can make a big deal now, he should jump at it as opposed to be in a larger market of shortstops, you know, the Trevor Stories, the Corey Seegers, potentially Javier yeah. Baez, potentially Francisco Lindor. Tell me what you would do if you were representing Correa.
Yeah, I would take the money. I will say this, though, through the postseason last season, when healthy, I love him. I think he is as dominant a player. You know, he's just physically bigger. He's as gifted as all of them are. The back thing is a worry. I wish you could structure contracts to say, we're going to pay you. If you can't pay, here's what, if you can't play, here's what your salary is going to drop to. We're going to invest in the risk that is signing you. I understand that historically, so what? You get hurt, we lose. I wish there was a way that teams and players could come together on a deal which allows you to pay for when you play. Not your performance, but I need you to play. And then if you can't play, you're physically unable to perform, well the salary structure dramatically lessens and the hit on the team isn't nearly as bad. But I love Correa last year, especially in the playoffs. Love him as a player.
Before you go, tell me a couple things you're really excited about for this year.
I'm excited about the rivalry in the West Coast. I'm really excited to see the Dodgers and the Padres. I think the NL East is the best division of baseball. I'm interested to see how Alderson and Steve Cohen manage the New York Mets. I think the Phillies are a fascinating team. Are the Marlins able to be consistent enough over 162 versus 60? But that division is a beast. And Arenado to St. Louis was something we've been talking about for a couple of years. I think they run away and hide in that division. I don't think there's any team close to the St. Louis Cardinals in that division.
Yeah, I've talked to folks around baseball and said if the Cardinals don't win the National League Central, there should be an investigation. How would they not win that division given the lack of spending among the other teams? All right, Ravi, great to catch up with you, and I look forward to talking with you next week.
Look forward to it, Buster. Great to be back with you, buddy, and I'm glad that you are with ESPN for the foreseeable future. Congratulations on the deal.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Marley Rivera covers baseball for ESPN. Marley, you are down in Fort Myers at Red Sox camp today. How you doing? And don't say you're hot.
Well, it is 95 degrees and sunny, so I did get my share of winter. So I get this. This is a well-deserved treat.
There you go. So tell me, just being around the Red Sox for the first time, what jumps out at you?
Well, I have to tell you, I had a chance, you know, just earlier this morning to chat with Alex Cora. And one of the things that he told me, and I was really surprised, and one of the great things about the Red Sox and the way it's set up is that it's one of the few places where you can actually are on level, you know, with them on the ground level. So you can speak to them just across the fence and socially distanced, of course. But that doesn't happen with a lot of the teams here in spring training. So the access to the Boston Red Sox is particularly good. And when I was chatting with Cora, he just seems overjoyed to be there. Buster and I asked him, you know, did you expect to be here? And he said, absolutely not. He's like, I expect to be back in baseball. I didn't expect to get the opportunity so soon. And all the guys like Herbie, especially the Spanish speakers, Herbie talking to him. So JD Martinez and Robbie Devers, and they're all very excited. And the other thing that I noticed is that there's a degree of fitness. I know we always say that the players are in the best shape of their lives in the spring, but at the Red Sox, Buster, it looks like it truly is. Rafael Devers and Christian Vasquez and even JD Martinez. I truly think that I have seen them their entire major league careers just like you have. This is the best they've ever looked.
You mentioned Rafi Devers. I thought that when the time that I've covered baseball, that Alex's relationship with Devers, his connection with Devers was as strong as I've ever seen in terms of, you know, having a player, I don't want to use the word reliant, but, you know, really benefiting from that relationship with his manager, which is why I think Devers is going to have a big bounce back year.
Absolutely. And we can see it in the fitness. We know that Alex has said it already repeatedly, and I know you've been on those Zooms, saying, you know, our focus is defense. And a lot of part of that defense, you know, relies on Devers, who really has a great arm but has struggled, you know, at third base. And Alex keeps saying it. We want to see better than 2018, even when they won the World Series. And, yes, it's impressive what he's doing. The connection with his manager isn't only about Spanish speaking. So I want to be clear about that, right? Like, that connection is getting a player that is that young. And, of course, Alex can connect, you know, on a language level, him being Puerto Rican and Rafi being Dominican. But it really is, you hit it right on the nose. When a player is that young, and when you have a young manager, you know, like Alex Cora, who speaks your language, it's really amazing how much, you know, how much it matters to them. We've seen it. We see it with Rafi Devers. And I think we're going to see it also with Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Charlie Montoyo.
Yeah, and I think their relationship comes down to, you know, Alex has such a great sense of humor. And he knows how to wield that humor where, you know, there have been times when know, he challenged Devers, for example, to hit the ball to more to left center field, which if you're a left-handed hitter in Fenway Park the way Devers is, that's the way to go. And so, you know, he would promise him, like, if you get a hit to left center field, I'll buy you dinner. Stuff like that. And I think really connected with Rafi, who I think is such a nice person.
Yes, he really is. And it's just such a, it's such a joy to see them. And of course, you know, we know what Cora did. He has a well-deserved one-year suspension, and he is back. But there are times that we talk about the right manager for a team, and I have always, always, always thought that Alex Cora is the right manager for this particular Red Sox team, and Rafi Devers is one of those reasons.
Do you think that the Red Sox are going to be good enough in 2021 to compete with the Rays, with the Yankees, and even the Blue Jays who are getting better?
I'm going to pause, but what I'm going to say is I do think the Red Sox are going to be better than we believe they're going to be. Like, that's actually, of course, that's really going to matter in the health, you know, of Eduardo Rodriguez and what Martin Perez and Garrett Richards can contribute, because obviously the pitching is an issue. We know that, right? And we know that bullpen is an issue and continues to be. But if we look at that lineup is really solid. And if we get a great year by Xander Bogaerts, a great year by Rafi Devers, and of course, a bounce back year for JD Martinez, who continues to be one of the top hitters in baseball, and people seem to have forgotten about him because he's kind of been in a slump for a while, then I do think that they really are going to challenge him. We have all those question marks in all the other rotations in that division, right? The Rays lost, you know, Charlie Morton and Blake Snell. We know that the Blue Jays got better, but it doesn't mean there's a 1-5 solid rotation. The Yankees are full of question marks. You know, they signed, they brought Jameson Taillon and they brought Corey Kluber, but who knows? These are guys that haven't pitched consistently since 2018 because of injury. So I think that that lineup is so solid and can really, really hit that I think they're going to perform way better than we expect them to. But Buster, rotation, 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 and they got to get that pitching, and they need Eduardo Rodriguez and Kenny Ovaldi completely healthy.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about the Yankees. What jumped out at you when you were in their camp?
I think they're so relaxed. It is one of the years, you know, you cover the Yankees for a really long time. You know, I have too, and now back covering them. There's always this kind of buzz around the camp, right? And of course, it's different because we're in the era of COVID and coverage is completely different with no fans and so on. But there isn't that buzz, but in a good way. It's almost like, you know, for Yankee fans, I think they should be excited. There's almost no drama. Even though we keep talking about the rotation, we keep talking about the question marks, that we talk about the Domingo Germán, you know, everything that has happened with his domestic violence suspension, that's been the only type of drama that has happened at Yankees camp. And I'm actually quite surprised. So it's almost like seeing Giancarlo Stanton healthy, seeing Aaron Judge healthy, seeing Clint Frazier take over that left field, seeing Aaron Hicks healthy. It's quite surprising to see a Yankees team that doesn't have too many issues going into 2021.
Do you think that Hal Steinbrenner, when we get closer to the trade deadline, will basically take the financial shackles off of Brian Cashman and say, look, if we need X, Y, or Z, then go ahead over the competitive balance tax. Do what you need to do to make this team better. And in particular, Marley, I'm convinced, and I totally agree with you. I think that during the regular season, this is a great team. It's going to score a lot of runs. But I think in the postseason, they desperately need more left-handed hitting. I just don't think that they can win in the regular season, in the postseason, unless they get more balanced to the lineup.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right about that, and that's why, you know, they gave, you know, a couple of $1 million to Brett Gardner to come back, and that's why they're seriously looking at Jay Bruce as an option, right, at first base and also in the outfield. That's one of the things that has been kind of fun. I feel like we forgot how great Jay Bruce used to be, you know, and he's only 33, and he's there, you know, kind of, we joked around with Luke Voigt the other day on Zoom how, you know, he was a great admirer of Jay Bruce when he was with the Reds and those great years with the Reds, and he was talking about it, and he was kidding around about how Jay Bruce is gunning for his job. So the Yankees definitely need left-handed hitting, but I don't know that Brian Cashman will have free reign, because what we saw this winter was very, very specific. The Yankees wanted to stay under that luxury tax, and they did. That's why they did not sign Masahiro Tanaka. That's why, you know, there's some deferred payments to some players. That's exactly why DJ LeMahieu took, you know, a hometown-friendly deal, because he wanted to stay with New York. I think that the mandate for the luxury tax is there. And I think that Brian Cashman is really, really hoping that that pitching pans out, particularly when it comes to Taillon and Kluber. But I don't know that the purse strings are going to come open.
And this weekend, you're going to be seeing the Blue Jays and the Yankees. Toronto, a team that's getting better and better. They went out. They added George Springer this winter. They added Marcus Semien to that team. What are you looking forward to seeing with the Blue Jays?
Well, everything that we've seen, Buster, is Vlad Guerrero online saying that he dropped 42 pounds. So finally, the questions about Vlad Guerrero's fitness may be over. And I'm actually excited. We haven't seen him. Blue Jays camp, because of the Canadian rules, the Canadian media hasn't been able to be in Florida. They cannot travel. So Blue Jays camp is the only camp that continues to be closed because they have no media and they think it's unfair to their own media if you allow others. And they're going to have, you know, the first access during the game. So this is going to be, I don't know if Vlad Guerrero Jr. is going to travel, right? They're going to play at Steinbrenner Field. But it'll be really interesting to see what we see from this, you know, new-look Blue Jays we keep talking about, right? The sons of the former major leaguers, you know, two Hall of Famers. And it's just so exciting all the time. But I want to see it. I want to see these Blue Jays. I want to see Vlad. I want to see what Charlie Montoyo is going to do with 162 games if we get there. And this is an exciting team. And I think George Springer is an excellent pickup for that team. And Hyunjin Ryu, watch out. I think he has a really, really good chance in the AL East for that Cy Young.
All right, Marley, great to talk with you. And I look forward to talking with you again. And don't ever talk again about temperatures, at least until, you know, we go above 40 degrees here in New York.
You got it, Buster. Don't worry. The cold will be waiting for me when I get back.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Jeff Francoeur is a TV analyst on the Braves broadcast. And Frenchie, I got to say, like, first off, I knew if you ever went into television, you'd be pretty good at it, but you're great at it. And as we get started here, my sense is just listening to you that you probably like it more than you would have guessed.
Well, Buster, first, thanks for having me on. Yeah, absolutely. I remember after the first game I broadcast, I got home. And, or I was on my way home and my wife called and she said, what'd you think? And the Braves, I think, had lost 7-0. I was like, well, they can't blame me. I didn't do nothing. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. And look, I think, you know, it's a way to stay involved in baseball, but it's also, I'm not coaching. I don't have to be there at noon. You know, you get there at 4:30 or 5 and you get a call a game. So I'm still able to be home a lot with the kids, but, also stay involved. So it's been a lot of fun so far.
And shoot, if you're going to be broadcasting a team, that seems like a really fun team to broadcast because they're talented, they're fun, they play with a lot of energy. They've won the National League East title 3 straight years, and yet it still feels like they're underrated.
Yeah, it blew my mind this year seeing some of the projections come out, you know, with their record, what they thought. And I know the division's gotten better, but I just still find that when you got – to me, one of the most consistent players in baseball, and Freddie Freeman, your reigning National League MVP. And then the guys that go with them, you know, from Ronald to Ozzie, getting Ozuna back, I thought was huge to have behind him. and then just a young starting staff, and you added Charlie Morton and a couple guys. So it really kind of did shock me, you know. But I think you know well as I do, Buster. You talk to the people, the Mets players, they've all kind of said the same thing. Look, the Braves are a team to beat right now. And I think they all believe that, because I think when you've won it 3 years in a row and you are up 3-1 on the Dodgers in the NLCS and you have a lot of those same guys back and added a couple, it's tough not to think you're going to be there again.
What's the greatest concern about the 2021 Atlanta Braves in your mind?
If I had to say it, I would say I think the starting pitching, they have enough depth. I would have to say it's just a lack. You know, they did lose a few big bullpen pieces, and not to say that Will Smith and Chris Martin can't do it, but, you know, those guys have to stay healthy. They have a good bullpen, but they don't have a lot of depth in the bullpen. With that being said, I think Alex Anthopoulos has done a good job in the fact that I think we both know if there's one kind of area of your team that you can improve at the deadline, and really even all year, it's the bullpen. It's easier to go get a big fish in the bullpen than it is a number one starter or a huge bat. So, you know, I love the look of this team. They're athletic. They play hard. And one thing that's very underrated about this team is the coaching staff. And that's Brian Snicker and the rest of the guys, from Eric Young, Ron Washington, Kevin Seitzer, you know, guys, Cranny, who's done an unbelievable job with the pitchers. These are baseball guys. You know, now they look at numbers, they do stuff, but at the end of the day, these guys played it, and they know the game, and they got a lot of respect to the players.
Ronald Acuna Jr., what do you think he's going to become?
I think I honestly think he's going to do 40-40 this year. He was so close 2 years ago. I feel like COVID really kind of, you know, guys were starting and stopping last year, and seeing him in camp already, from what I've heard, he's lost a little bit of weight. I thought at times he might have been a little heavy last year. You know, like I said, it was tough. But I think the big thing is if Christian Pache is a center fielder and Ronald can play right field, you know as well as I do, it can save your legs. And not to say that he's not going to be running hard in the outfield, because he is, but it's going to give him a chance to take a breather a little more. And I think with that, I think you're going to look at a guy that is going to be able to play every single day, feel good, feel confident. And, you know, I still, I'll argue, I don't think there's a better leadoff hitter in baseball.
How does third base play out for them? Of course, they have Austin Riley, Johan Camargo in the past has been at third base for them, but they signed kind of a lottery ticket in Jake Lamb, who at one point, you know, was terrific with the Diamondbacks. He's had some tough years since then. What's your sense of how third base is going to play out?
Well, my idea was that Chipper's going to coach for all the home games. You might as well throw him out there for 81 games. Why not? But, I think it's Austin Riley's to lose. And I think Austin, you know, did a better job last year. But I think he's also got to show strides of making better contact. Can't be just an automatic out sometimes versus some tough right-handed pitchers. So I definitely think it's him. But I also think, look, they're trying to find lightning in a bottle with one or two guys possibly. Jake Lamb definitely is an interesting name. He's only 30 years old. You know, Jason Kipnis, who knows what you can get from him? You know, Sandoval's there. So, you know, look, I like the idea of trying to mix and match and see it, but I definitely still think it's Austin Riley's to start with. But at the same time, he's going to have to play well, and he's going to have to continue to show discipline at the plate.
Freddie Freeman is a free agent at the end of the year, and you know, fans, that is going to be a topic of discussion until he actually works out a deal. How do you imagine that could play out?
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't want to put any pressure on the organization, but if he was to leave, I think fans would revolt here. I don't think they would know what to do. My kids included would be just crushed. I think Freddie's expressed that he wants to stay here. And I think the Braves, look, I know they were talking to George Springer and a couple other players this year. And I think, you know, the price has got to the point where they know they have to pay Freddie. And I think they will. I think it's a matter of time before they take care of him. He's the heart and soul of that team. You know, since I came back in 16 and played and seen, even since then, the last 4 years, him progress more into a vocal leader, something that, you know, when I was over in 16, he really wasn't yet. And to see him do that now and kind of take over that locker room, I've said it. I don't think there's a better opposite field hitter in baseball. And take out Mike Trout, there might not be a more consistent player in baseball than Freddie Freeman.
In your mind, which team is the biggest threat to the Braves in the National League East?
the Nats. I know the Mets have improved. Look, they got Lindor, who's unbelievable. You know, they loaded up on some of the pitching staff. I still worry about their bullpen. I just always, anytime you have, you know, Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin, and, you know, Soto, another guy like Acuna, you know, last year they got off to the worst start. And really 2 years ago they did too, if you think about it, when they won the World Series. But last year there was no time to make up. I think that's a team that's got a good manager in Dave Martinez, and they got a lot of veteran players. They got players with experience. I think that's a team that with that pitching, you can get on a roll and run a streak.
French, I love watching you on TV. You're really great. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, you know it, man. Anytime. I appreciate it.
Bleacher Tweets. Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for a Friday. And I figure I'll play this under underneath for a minute here.
Nice.
Just to go with the tweeting theme here. We got two quick ones. First up, our pal DGB Debbie Gammons Brown. She writes in, can we expect another season of Todd Radom's uniform and logo quiz on the podcast, Buster? Because I think you lost badly to Taylor last year. And Debbie, I think you are correct on that.
You know, I'm thinking about not answering the question, not acknowledging that, and just pretend last year never happened. You know what? We talked last year about how the 60-game 2020 season shouldn't count because it was just a weird year, and we shouldn't evaluate any of the competitors based on that. I think the same thing should apply to me. Like, I'm not going to acknowledge that. But we will have Todd Radom on to resume the uniform and logo quiz, and we'll be working that out with Todd.
Yes. All right.
Last one. Contract negotiations take a while.
he's a demanding guy for sure.
Yep.
Definitely, you know, tough in the boardroom. Let's go to Scotty Barnes at Scotty O Barnes. He writes in, will Miguel Cabrera hit his 500th home run this season? Will he pass Eddie Murray on the career list?
Scotty, I'm going to say yes. And yes, he is. It could be a really big year for Miguel Cabrera. To remind people why he should be unanimous selection for the Hall of Fame one day. He's 13 homers away from hitting his 500th home run. He's less than 200 hits away from getting hit number 3,000. So it's pretty cool that we might see both of those this year. And yes, I think he'll hit more than 17 home runs, which is what he would need to pass Eddie Murray.
All righty. That does it for Bleacher Tweets. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets. On Twitter, which division are we doing next week, Buster? We did the NL East this week. A lot of fun. A lot of good guests.
We're not done with that yet. We got the Marlins on Monday.
Oh,
my God. Yeah.
I'm on a different plane. I'm getting my wisdom teeth out. And so my focus has been on that, like preparing for it mentally. I've never done like any kind of surgery before. This body has never been cut open. So
you're nervous.
A little nervous. Yeah.
Your wife is just going to be bringing you like iced teas the whole weekend, or, you know, ice cream, right?
Yeah. And actually, very Maryland of me, I'm going to make a big pot of cream of crab soup to have on hand. So
that's probably a good move.
Yeah.
That's it for today. That's it for this week. My thanks today to Carl, to Jeff, and to Marley, and to Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to work against every single day.
Listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.